Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you all know Employee Cycle, but if you don't, then you should know that we are the people dashboard that are helping all of you HR and people leaders out there at small and medium companies who have so much stuff to do that it's very difficult for you to find the time and the resources to be able to pull together those HR reports and analytics that you really need, especially now with all your teams mostly being remote. How do you understand your business? How do you understand your workforce? How do you know who's leaving? What's going on with engagement? You're probably logging into a bunch of different systems or exporting a bunch of spreadsheets from all those systems into one place and trying to make sense of it. But that's not really ideal. That's why we built Employee Cycle for you, a people dashboard that has pre-built integration connectors to all the most important HR systems you're using today, namely Bamboo HR, Zenefits, TriNet, ADP, 15.5, Reflective, Office Vibe, you name it. We can pull in all that data from all your different systems so that you can view, track, share, and analyze all your people data in one place. Go to employeecycle.com to sign up for a demo, or you can actually sign up for a free trial to take it for a spin for yourself and see how much it helps you. That's enough about me and Employee Cycle today, because I would like for you to help me welcome a very special guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Candace Griffith. She's the HR director at Health Prime. And today we're going to discuss how to reskill your workforce to manage the new reality. Candace, welcome to the podcast.
What a warm welcome. I appreciate it.
Everyone here in our studio audience is so excited to have you here. We just couldn't hold ourselves together. So, Candace, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you to share, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you, it's a funny story. After college, I moved to the DC, Virginia, Maryland area to just really realign myself and figure out what that next step was going to be after college. And I applied to a receptionist position at an Italian aerospace company in downtown DC. But I will say I'm very social. I'm a people person. I love to engage with people. So I would naturally gravitate towards the HR office and ask them for any additional work they need help with or special projects. And that was my first taste of HR, doing payroll and travel management for the company. And that was about, 12 years ago at this point in time. I've had a number of HR roles since then that have really kind of allowed me to help hone my skills and further develop myself in the professional HR world.
Awesome. So Candace, today we're discussing how to reskill your workforce to manage the new reality. And people may not know this, but at the beginning of the interview, I typically ask our guests, who are usually HR leaders, what's bothering you, what's interesting to you, what's top of mind, and this is what you mentioned. So I'm curious, why is reskilling your workforce for this new reality important? And then we can go into the details around that.
Sure. I will say that, Bruce, personally, I think that it's a little bit of a crisis we have, especially in the HR world, upskilling and reskilling our current workforce to allow them to adapt to the new future of business, which is very tech-enabled. It's very digitized, moving away from that paper processing that we've seen in the past. And for us at Health Prime, one of the most important things that we needed to be ready for, especially in the time of COVID, is removing all of our employees from the in-office environment and transitioning them to a remote work environment, but still having the same level of skill and quality when engaging with our clients. It's been a challenge. It's been a challenge to transition a in-office focused employee to a digitized remote focused employee.
So our audience has some context and they can understand what you mean by that. Can you give us a brief background and summary of what Health Prime does
Yes. So Health Prime, we're in the healthcare services industry. We primarily focus on revenue cycle management, which means we drive revenue for doctor's office, physician clinics, and things of that nature. So we help them with their billing and claims and help them kind of reclaim that untapped revenue that's sitting out from claims that have not been collected on. We are very digitized recently. It's actually one of the ways that we stand out in the industry. We have an incredible data analytics tool that allows us to work with our clients to walk them through the different steps of their revenue, how they can increase their revenue and drive the revenue forward.
Got it. So let's go into one of the things that you just mentioned, which was around helping your in-office employees really get to the point where they were as efficient, if not even more efficient, when it comes to doing their job remotely or virtually. What were the challenges around that, and how did you look to overcome those challenges at your company?
Sure. One of the first things I noticed that was a challenge for us in moving from in-office to remote was the ability for employees to just easily walk over to a supervisor or manager's office to get help on a situation or a problem that they may be having. And once you transition to remote workforce, you're not able to do that easily. So now you kind of have to stand in line for something like that because you're going against the supervisor or manager who is now remote themselves. So they're dealing with transitioning and their schedules can get a little bit jam-packed as we made this transition from in-office to remote. So that was the first challenge we had, was just opening the lines of communication virtually, so having face-to-face interactions via a webcam, picking up the phone and actually calling employees instead of, again, chatting them really quickly in the future, walking over to their office, those type of things you weren't able to easily do anymore when you're home. And also dealing with employees who did not have the correct technology tools to be able to even have a conversation via a webcam with their colleague. That made it very difficult. Some employees didn't have in-office phone numbers because that wasn't the nature of our business. So now moving remote, how do we contact these employees? We don't want to rely on just their cell phones. So now we got to roll out some type of telephonic system that works in employees' homes and also different time zones because we are throughout the U.S. and international. So for us, that was the main challenge that we had to overcome, is how do we reorganize our communication structure and the way we communicate with one another in order to move business forward and still get our jobs done.
As you were going through that process of helping your employees become more, let's call it, digitized in their process and daily workflow, I'm assuming when it came to things like phone and technology set up with webcams and laptops and other parts of tech that they needed, IT was really driving it from a security, compliance, and product selection standpoint. But in that type of process, how is HR contributing to that? What types of things and what skill set and experience are you bringing to the table so that others are looking at this through their lens, but they also see it through a lens of people and people strategy?
Yeah, I think a couple ways that HR really helped with that process is, one, just serving as a project manager for that, because for our IT team, this was a huge, massive undertaking for them. We're talking about just under 1,000 employees in India and Costa Rica and spread out all throughout the U.S. with different internet connection speeds and bandwidth and technology access throughout those different locations. So HR really served as the project manager in terms of helping them get organized, helping them set up remote work policies, which we didn't necessarily have before, canvassing our employee population to see who has what, whose system is operating, what we would say maybe as a high level. So maybe they're low priority versus an employee whose computer and IT systems are kind of on the fritz and need to be replaced immediately. So just helping them canvass employees and get that listing ready to go. But also helping them engage with employees, because what we have found, and I especially have found in HR in transitioning to remote work, is you're also dealing with employees who never had to work from home. So, for example, we had some employees who you know, they didn't necessarily like working from home. Perhaps it was just them living at home, and now they are required to be at home all day, every single day, which is very difficult on anyone's, you know, kind of psyche during this time, especially with just being stuck in the house on the weekends as well, and having the fear of all this COVID going around. So as HR, I also had to step in to almost be a crisis counselor to help employees through this difficult time, because it did affect some of our employees' work. Just having that transition was very hard for them. Being home, isolated, it felt very isolating to them, and their work was suffering. So serving as a project manager, helping be a crisis counselor during this time, especially on the employee relations side, were two ways that HR really stepped up during this COVID time and during the transition from in-office to remote working.
For the employees who weren't used to using this type of technology, let's just call it video recording or webcam on a laptop, what was the communication strategy around educating these employees? Was that more from an HR standpoint? Did that come more from IT, or was there a blend?
I would definitely say it came more from HR. However, I definitely don't want to I do want to give credit to our IT team, because IT teams, you know, across the world were really stepping up in this area. But HR really was also helping training, because all of a sudden, never having to meet someone face-to-face or deal with clients, and now all of a sudden having to do that on video in your own home, in itself took some training and development. So we rolled out a very brief training, but for all employees, that talked about webcam etiquette, right, and a conference call etiquette, because you have people at home now, so the lighting needs to be acceptable. You know, our clients need to be able to see you, your colleagues need to be able to see you, and that's a challenge with some people who aren't used to dealing with a webcam that's, you know, integrated into their laptop, or arranging a separate webcam that they have to clip onto their computer. So lighting, where to sit, also reminding employees that although you are home, you should be dressed appropriately, because you will be meeting with your colleagues and you will be having those web calls with the clients. And also talking about how you speak on the call. You know, we can very easily tend to get into that relaxed mode when we're at home in terms of how we speak, how we act, how our demeanor is. And all of that is now on display on the camera when you're talking to people. So really, we just had to talk about etiquette for how you host client meetings via webcam when you're home in your own place, and with other kind of distractors that you didn't have before, right? Make sure that the TV is off. Make sure that your ringer's off. Make sure that you don't have people walking in. Make sure that you're also in an ergonomic correct desk setup, which was very challenging. I feel the pain of my HR colleagues all across the world trying to get their employees to set themselves up ergonomically when we know that the majority of employees may want to, you know, just work from their couch or from the bed or from the kitchen table, which I have found myself doing. But I had to kind of set up my kitchen table office work from home space that was really conducive to me being able to do my job effectively, efficiently, not have distractors, but also making sure that I'm still comfortable in my new work from home setting.
When it came to the reskilling process, was the majority, if not all of the reskilling for you, was around educating your employees around this new type of tech that they will be using and potentially etiquette, things like that? Or were there other totally new skills that they had to learn as well?
Yeah, for us, there were a lot of new skills that employees had to learn, mostly because right when COVID hit, we were on the tail end of an acquisition at my company. So we acquired a lot of new employees whose work process was very different from my home company that acquired them. So we really were struggling with the retraining and upskilling of our employees to have them work in a different type of environment and do different things than they were used to. But also, in the face of COVID, we as a business had a change our play as well. We had to do some reorganizing and setting up new employees and new jobs and duties and skills to help us survive this pandemic from a business perspective, but also to help us keep our employees employed. And in order to do that, we really had to change our business model. So there were a lot of moving parts at that point in time, but in terms of reskilling our employees, we really had to focus on a couple of key areas, and that was our datalytics tool. A lot of our employees were not used to using this type of technology that helps you manage someone's account, that helps you, you know, run reporting, so you're able to have effective conversations with clients about how we can help them and make their business grow and do better. So that datalytics tool was very important to us, but also having client interactions. That was a new skill that I would say about 75% of our workforce did not have and ready to deploy when COVID hit. So we did have to also host trainings on that. How do you engage with a client? How often do you meet with a client? What are the topics of discussion for these client meetings? That was a skill that people also had to acquire. And lastly, tying all that information together. So the things that they're seeing in the datalytics tool, which was brand new, the things that they're hearing and learning about in their one-on-one client meetings, how do they package that information that they're collecting together and disseminate that to our management team, our leadership team, so we can as a whole learn how to do better in the workplace and do better with our business. Without having that important information that the employees were acquiring from our clients, we would not have been able to really stand strong in this pandemic and finish the year out strong, which we are all working very hard to do.
Out of all the areas of reskilling, where do you believe you face the biggest challenges? And which area of that did you also get the most questions from the employees?
Sure. Although you would think it wouldn't be a tough area, but really the client interaction was hard. It was hard because while our company is trying to withstand, you know, COVID-19, our clients are also trying to withstand COVID-19. Their patients are also trying to withstand COVID-19. So that client interaction needed to shift immediately from the way it was before, which is just a routine check-in with clients, to more of a hands-on problem-solving interaction with our clients, because they were, you know, also seeing you know, they weren't able to be open, right? So they weren't able to have patients come through. That affects their bottom line. That affects their revenue. How can we, as their vendor of choice, help them weather this storm? How can we help keep them stable? How can we recommend different things that they can be doing to drive revenue during this difficult time? It was a very different model that we as a company weren't used to having to service our clients for. And now we had to not only come up with, well, what do we do? But then also find a way to train employees on how to do something that's also brand new to us as an organization. So those client interactions were very difficult landscape to navigate. And I am so thrilled at all of the hard work that all of our leaders did and our IT team and our employees especially for just rising to the occasion and really taking in that information and training that we were sending to them at, you know, light speed times. I feel like they probably thought they were drinking from a water hose, all the information and changes and technology updates that they had to undergo. But they have really been the champion of this whole process and pandemic. And we're so happy to have them.
And then the last question I want to ask you about is the reskilling crisis that you mentioned at the beginning of this interview. Having been through this process, having what sounds like succeeded through this process, but knowing that it's an ongoing process that you're going to continue to optimize and make better, what do you have to say to a lot of the people listening and to the broader HR community at large about reskilling their employees and what they can learn from your experience?
Yeah, a couple things. There's definitely some tips that I have. One of them that we realized we were not prepared for is, in general, emergency preparedness. From an HR standpoint, you know, we were prepared in terms of how do we communicate with employees during an emergency, whether it be in the office or whether there's a natural disaster happening. But what we didn't have a plan for, and I believe that many employers do not have a plan in place for this, is an emergency preparedness plan for your actual operations, right? So if in this case, you know, the COVID pandemic, we did have, you know, employees who may have gotten COVID. What happened, or what would have happened, if your operations experience a significant portion of your population getting COVID? what would you do? Because, you know, your employees are your greatest asset. They are the people who are doing the work. And if we were hit with a significant number of employees who had to be out for this, that would put us in a very bad situation. So one of the things that we learned is that we need to have an emergency preparedness plan outside of just the HR side of it in terms of our equipment. How do we shift work to another location? How do we communicate to our clients that we're shifting work to another location, that they have a new contact, that our hours of operation are changing, all of our IT infrastructure systems. How do we reroute that to a backup system or whatever it may be? That is something that we have really worked on during this time, to have a plan in place for routing calls, routing emails, all of that type of stuff that I don't think anyone truly has ever thought of. If any type of real crisis happens, tornado, flooding, any of that stuff, how do you stay operating during that type of situation? And so that's one thing that I would definitely recommend employers and their teams to start putting together work groups for emergency preparedness. Again, beyond just, you know, what happens if there's a fire in the building and what do you do with your employees? More so, what happens to your operations and how do you stabilize and recover and get back on your feet during that time? That's probably the biggest tip that I can say to people, but also to have regular training sessions. It's so important for employers to not just, you know, we ourselves have a learning management system. There's plenty of trainings on there that employees can do on, you know, effective communication and leadership management, but also having regular trainings on your job and their duties and the tools that they have available to them to effectively do their job. Sometimes employees forget about those special tools that they may have been trained on their first, say, 30, 60, or 90 days of employment versus someone who's been here for now, you know, 2 or 3 years. They may have forgot those simple things that they learned in the beginning. So we recommend hosting regular training sessions for your employees, refresher courses for some of the duties that they do to perform their job. And also, one thing that is very important that I will leave as a third takeaway from here is cross-training your employees. Again, we found that to be so critical during this pandemic. If you only have employees who can only do their job and their job only, that will make it very difficult when you have any sort of problem with employees, you know, being out sick or being out because of other circumstances. Cross-training your employees is really going to help your organization be stable in any type of emergency or pandemic such type crisis that may occur in the future.
Candace, thank you so much for being so candid, authentic, and really providing so much knowledge to the HR community, especially everyone who's going to be listening to this. So thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Bruce. This has been just a pleasure. I'm always happy to talk about HR things.
And this is your first podcast.
This is a very special day. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I feel like I need to celebrate now.
You should. And I wish we could.
Yes. In due time.
Absolutely. So again, let's thank Candace for being such an awesome guest on the podcast. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast episode as much as we enjoyed making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, if this is your very first time listening to the Employee Cycle podcast and you're hungry for more episodes, you can either go to our website at employeecycle.com, sign up for our newsletter, or you can subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.